unlimited succession of animal eyes. BBC Natural World. Jackson, Wyoming. A small town near the base of a tall, forested mountain.
To many, this picturesque town appears a rural idyll. A living evocation of the American frontier spirit.
Covered wagons being pulled by horses, and a statue of a rodeo rider.
But it's also a town under siege.
A trail of bubbles rising to the surface of a pond, then the lower body of a furry, web-footed animal stepping onto land. The trunks of local trees protected by wire mesh, and a rodent-like face gnawing at a piece of wood.
Unseen, operating largely at night, an interloper from the wild is creating havoc.
The stumps of numerous trees that have been gnawed right through.
It is a conflict between nature and civilization.
I planted this tree. I love this tree. It was beautiful. It had really pretty flowers in the springtime.
Busy beaver.
Yeah, he sure is.
The culprit is the beaver.
A beaver finishes gnawing at a tree, then retreats as it topples and falls.
They can create quite a bit of damage one way or another.
Whether felling trees or damming up waterways, they cause chaos.
I took one or two nights and everything was almost wiped out.
When that happens, tempers get frayed.
I think a lot of people shoot them.
And there seems no end in sight.
It's become an issue because we never had a way of remedying it without either removing them or killing them.
A swimming beaver.
With humans and beavers living in such close proximity, is there no answer to beavers behaving badly?
They'll be back, and we'll just keep spinning our wheels until there can be a final resolution.
George Rickert for the 10 o'clock news.
Beavers behaving badly. Narrated by Rob Brydon. Soaring above a densely forested area with majestic snow-covered mountains beyond.
The magnificent Teton Mountains in Wyoming overlook one of America's great wilderness treasure troves, the Grand Teton National Park.
Two wolves padding across scrubland, an eagle flapping its wings as it flies over the wild wilderness, a small herd of elk, and a spectacular snow-covered landscape.
With spring around the corner, soon it'll be thronging with tourists. Enticed by the stunning scenery and tantalized by the prospect of a close encounter with some of America's most iconic species.
American bison crossing a plain with the dramatic mountains in the distance.
But with winter's icy grip still evident, the park remains the preserve of its wildlife.
Melting ice.
And the thaw cues the appearance of beavers.
A beaver briefly poked its head up through the thin ice covering part of a pond. It then submerges, swims beneath a tangle of branches, and resurfaces at a spot that's free of ice. It swims down into an underwater hole.
These aquatic rodent rascals have spent the long winter months holed up inside their lodges, only slipping out to retrieve branches and twigs from their underwater food caches.
One beaver joins another, which has been floating on the surface.
With supplies almost at an end, they take the opportunity to pilfer fresh shoots and branches,
gnawing amongst some reeds.
But even now, the clock is ticking. Soon, young adults will be run out of the lodge to make their own way in the world. They'll have just 6 months to find a mate, establish their own homes, and build a food supply big enough to sustain them through Wyoming's long, cold winter.
A bird's-eye view of a river's interweaving tributaries. Then a beaver making its way through undergrowth.
Fortunately for these beavers, just a few miles downstream is a ready supply of well-established trees and unoccupied ponds, just waiting to be colonized by an enterprising animal.
The ponds are located in an attractive residential area, dotted with houses. Two beavers swimming in shallow water, then the whole town seen from on high.
It's called Jackson Hole.
Town traffic and pedestrians.
The problem is, Jackson Hole's existing residents aren't necessarily keen on sharing space with these furry invaders.
Beavers can do an awful lot of damage very quickly.
It's amazing what they can do in one night.
In financial terms, I think the beavers have cost me between $8,000 and $10,000.
We either got to figure out how to live with them, or we need to exterminate them.
A large welcome sign atop a local bar.
The town revels in its Wild West heritage, and given it was named after a 19th century beaver trapper, you might imagine the response to an invasion of troublesome beavers would be a run on ammunition at the local gun store.
The crosshairs of a rifle.
Well, not exactly. Jackson boasts its own beaver buster, Drew Reed.
Drew puts on sunglasses.
Like a Wild West sheriff, Drew is tasked with sorting out any conflict between humans and beavers.
The baseball-capped Drew gets into a 4x4.
People start noticing damage when things start thawing out here. The beavers start getting a little more active, and they don't want it to get out of hand. So that's when I come in and try to help them out. One of the worst cases of beaver damage that I've ever seen was a property that had been unattended for a couple of weeks, and when I showed up to take a look at the damage, there were approximately 50 very large trees down. It was basically beaver Armageddon.
Drew opens up a storage hut.
Drew's usual solution is to humanely trap problem beavers before relocating them to wilderness areas around Jackson. And with spring knocking on his door, he's getting ready for the phone to start ringing.
So this is where my traps have been sitting all winter to stay away from other scents that could get on and cause some issues when we're trapping. These are kind of my designated beaver gloves, if you will. And these, we try to remember to wear our gloves every time so that we don't get our own scent on here. It may not be that big of an issue, but we just don't take any chances.
Before going on duty, Drew likes to make sure his equipment is in proper working order.
Okay, so let's get this thing set.
Known as suitcase traps, these devices snap closed around a beaver, encasing it in a steel mesh cage. But if the springs are rusty or the trigger catches, the trap could malfunction, potentially injuring a beaver or allowing it to escape.
Test this guy out, make sure it's strong enough to work for us this year. I like that. That's strong enough. A lot of people comment on how violent these traps are, but it's better than a bullet in the head.
A man carrying camera equipment, including a heavy tripod, walks into a wilderness area.
Drew isn't the only person in Jackson whose workload is altered by the beaver's emergence. Wildlife cameraman Jeff Hogan has been filming beavers for 30 years. And the spring thaw is his cue to check up on some old friends.
This is one of my favorite beaver ponds. It's really old. It's just this giant lodge down there into the pond, this beautiful big dam that makes a beautiful big pond that runs off to the north. The Tetons make up a wonderful backdrop, and the light here is just stunning in the evening. This dam is the sexiest dam out of the lot. My favorite angle, you know, is to shoot nice and low so that you're eye to eye to the beaver. It's a wonderful perspective.
Like most cameramen, Jeff knows that filming wildlife is a waiting game.
He holds a hand to the long lens of his camera.
We've got a beaver right over here. He just surfaced.
The beaver's head pops up out of the water.
Oh, wow, there you go.
They're the largest rodents in North America. But even so, they're shy, wary creatures that like to stick to the protective environment of their pond.
A cloud of mud swirls in the beaver's wake.
They generally don't come out until just before dusk. And it's only once night has fallen that they really get to work.
Night vision footage of a beaver making good progress as it gnaws its way into the base of a tree. Another swims into an underwater hole.
They slip back to the lodge around dawn. So often the only visible sign of a beaver's presence is the clues it leaves behind. But there's always the exception. It's midday. Drew's been called out by a caretaker who's concerned about the sudden appearance of a beaver on one of his properties.
It's like me in the morning.
Yeah.
The property is surrounded with young aspen and cottonwood trees. It's all very tempting for beavers, given they survive almost exclusively on a diet of twigs, leaves, and tree bark.
You know, they've been relying on their food caches all winter long, chewing on old bark and this fresh vegetation. Probably like candy to these guys.
The landowner has wrapped a lot of his trees to protect them. But even that won't put off a really determined rodent.
They damage the landscaping, they kill a lot of trees, they plug up the outlet so that the water level comes up and we flood the yard. The last batch of beavers that we had in this pond probably did $10,000 damage overnight.
So Mike, I think I'll just go ahead and set both these traps on this pond.
From Drew preparing one of his suitcase traps to a large stationary beaver on the far side of the pond. Drew prizes the trap open as the beaver sniffs the air.
Most homeowners want any interloping beavers trapped and relocated as soon as possible.
There he is right there.
Especially if they're as brazen as this one.
I've never seen one quite that indifferent before.
Drew lures the trap into the water.
To increase the chances of a successful capture, Drew camouflages the trap.
He's watching me right now do this.
Before baiting it with a scent lure. The lure is designed to draw the target in through sheer curiosity. It mimics the smell another beaver would make when marking its territory with a urine-based paste.
How vile does that stuff smell?
It's not too bad.
No, but it's pungent.
I love the smell of this stuff.
Whether the lure will work with this beaver is another matter altogether. Exposing itself like this in the middle of the day is distinctly un-beaver-like behavior.
Did you train this beaver?
Yes, my radio-controlled beaver. I got him here for you.
A second trap should increase Drew's chances of a capture. although this beaver appears underwhelmed.
This might be his way of saying, yeah, right.
I've seen
nice traps.
I've seen those before. Yeah, exactly.
Sure you want to move him?
The beaver appears to be preening itself.
See you in the morning, beef.
Adult beavers are very difficult to age and almost impossible to sex without a very intimate examination. But the chances are this is a 2-year-old adult, the age at which beavers are usually pushed out of the lodge. Beavers are monogamous and breed during the winter. Let's face it, locked in by the ice for months on end, there's not much else to do. They'll typically have a litter of 2 to 4 kits in the spring. Initially, these kits will live off their mother's milk, and they'll start swimming after a few days. Then, after about a month, they'll be weaned onto a diet of twigs and leaves. Lucky them. Their fur isn't waterproof initially, but that all changes thanks to continual massaging with bodily secretions. This tireless grooming also helps maintain an additional waterproofing layer of air within their fur. After 2 years, during which time a couple more litters may have swelled the growing family, it'll be hi-ho and off you go for these adolescent beavers as they get shoved out of the lodge to make way for their younger siblings.
A young beaver slips out from the lodge's underwater entrance and is soon making its way across rocks in the shallow part of a river.
Using streams, rivers and waterways, these young adults, known as dispersers or floaters, may travel several miles in search of a mate and an unoccupied waterway in which to set up home. It's often these renegade rodents that Drew is called out to deal with in the spring.
Drew's heading back to the pond.
He's returned to find out if he's caught the remote-controlled beaver.
You gotta be kidding me. Both traps empty. It's not good. There's gonna be times where I don't capture beavers. I'm not 100%. You know, they're just sometimes better than I am.
There are no fresh signs of damage, so it looks like the beaver was just casing the joint rather than actually moving in.
Skunked again. Gotta love springtime trapping.
With several other calls to respond to, Drew decides not to leave the traps in place any longer.
I'll be able to put these traps to use somewhere else anyways.
The beavers plug the culverts and create flooding problems. We were gone for a couple of days and came back, and I left my flower garden. It was flooded. It was almost up to my knees. And needless to say, that was a major inconvenience, and the flowers are suffering.
Drew's 4x4 drives along a dusty track.
Drew's been called out by another caretaker who's chanced upon some incriminating evidence.
Chewed on branches right there in the water. Very typical.
Beavers will often turn a shallow cove like this into a makeshift restaurant, pulling branches into the water where they can safely eat the bark. Any tree in the vicinity is easy pickings. And the culprit here appears to have been particularly determined.
I honestly have never seen a beaver chewing through netting like this.
The branches aren't just used as a food supply. They get recycled as building materials. Not a trick you can play with hamburgers.
So where's the activity at?
And it's the sudden appearance of a lodge that alerted this caretaker to his new arrivals.
See, this is quite a bit bigger than it was last time I was here. All these branches on top of that mud are new.
Huh?
And all this debris here in the water is new.
Okay.
So far, the damage is fairly minor. But if the beavers build a dam on the pond outlet, the rise in water level could easily flood the house, which is worth several million dollars.
What was that? There he is right there. Check it out. That's him swimming right over there. Well, there's proof positive. Saying hello.
All right, I've seen what I need to see. Let's go get the traps.
All right.
A second beaver appears while Drew's back is turned. So it's a good job he's brought two traps. The beavers are probably unable to make out the traps as their sight is relatively poor. But their sense of smell is excellent, and their noses are clearly telling them that Drew represents a threat.
The two beavers splash at the water.
A violent slap of the tail is a beaver's main defense mechanism, a way of telling an intruder, human or otherwise, to back off.
Drew laughs at another demonstration, not far from the bank. He finishes setting the trap.
Okay, that trap's hot.
With two traps set, Drew is happy to leave the beavers to it. If everything goes to plan, they'll be in custody by the morning.
Good luck, Beav.
From a beaver diving beneath the surface to the sun hanging low on the horizon. Now Drew's returned to check the traps.
Uh-oh. Now we've got one. Good. First one of the season.
Unfortunately, it looks like the second beaver has evaded the long arm of the law.
Bummer we didn't get the other one, but we'll get it.
The chances of a successful relocation will be improved if Drew can catch both beavers and then release the pair together.
Okay. Should get it.
So he leaves a couple of traps in place before escorting the first beaver from the premises.
It's loaded into the back of his truck.
Nature appears to have the upper hand since animal cruelty complaints stopped the practice of drowning the beavers. News 4's George Ricker reports the industrious rodents are as busy as ever.
Beavers are prolific builders, chewing down and dragging whatever trees they can to build a dam.
While he's waiting to see if his traps snare the second beaver, Drew's keeping the first one in a temporary holding facility.
Got a 39-pound beaver, which technically, and it is just an estimate, is a 3-year-old beaver.
The beaver is ear-tagged.
Got it. Perfect.
If Drew finds it in the wild, he'll be able to judge how far it's traveled. And if it's recalled, he'll be able to clock it as a repeat offender.
Put you away, hopefully, for just the night. See you in the morning.
Drew's thoughts turn to beaver number two. But despite leaving his traps out for several nights, he draws a blank.
Well, it doesn't look like we got the other one. Struck out.
It looks like it's moved on. Beavers will travel miles in search of a suitable pond, so Drew's chances of capturing it now are effectively nil.
Well, it's aggravating as hell not to catch the second beaver. The other beaver has been in the trailer for 3 days now, so I'm going to have to go release that particular beaver. I just can't hold it any longer.
Drew opens a large straw-lined container and transfers the captured beaver into a transportation box.
with the detainee safely transferred to a beaver box.
At the edge of a river,
Drew takes it to a release point well away from town.
Okay, let's get this beaver out of here. You're fine. Yeah, there you go.
He gently tips the box over, and the beaver steps out into the shallow water.
There you go, buddy.
It picks its way along the rocky waterline.
Hopefully, the beaver will find another mate and a good spot in which to establish a new home.
So this is the first beaver of the season. Most likely there's going to be 30, maybe 40 more of these to go. Hopefully the vast majority of them do good things and I don't have to capture them again.
A swimming beaver.
Beavers are a keystone species. And as long as they're in the wild, the ponds they create benefit a huge range of wildlife. Which is why Drew's employers, the Wyoming Wetland Society, started the relocation program in the first place.
Well, the beaver relocation program is kind of a win-win situation. We're taking an animal that could potentially be killed just because it's just doing its own thing. And you're moving it to an area that it can do some really good work.
A large beaver dam and a sweeping bend in a river.
It's thought that 80% of the local wildlife benefit from wetlands in some form or fashion.
A young deer near a riverbank and a swan swimming along with a cygnet behind it.
At one time, beavers were widespread throughout the USA. But the European fashion for felt hats meant that fur trappers decimated their populations in the 18th and 19th centuries. It was only after a series of reintroduction programs were carried out in the last century that beavers became widespread again, inevitably bringing them into conflict with another expanding population, humans.
I understand their necessity in the ecosystem. I just wish they would do what they like to do on someone else's land. I'm not at all opposed to trapping a beaver and using its belt. My wife has a nice, wonderful beaver vest with a bobcat fringe.
Jeff looks through the eyepiece of his camera.
Oh, this is nice. Yeah, this is really nice.
Jeff has found a new spot for filming wildlife.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
He's filming geese and a deer.
Oh, this is lovely.
It's a hotel and cabin complex close to the center of Jackson. With a stream running through the grounds, it's a haven for wildlife. And Jeff's been tipped off about one particular pair of new arrivals.
He's filming a beaver as it swims out from beneath an overhanging log.
Oh, wow, there you go. This is great. You know, these beavers are just swimming in and out through here. There's over 100 cabins here. They've just made this place their home. I never would have expected it. It's just absolutely amazing.
Gnawing at a branch.
The attraction for the beavers is obvious. There's fresh food on hand. The perfect spot to start a lodge. A creek providing access to additional supplies. And the presence of people will ensure there are no natural predators sniffing around, looking for an easy kill.
A man standing on a wooden bridge.
So this has been a very successful night. We've seen two beavers. You know, we'll keep checking in on this place and just see how it progresses.
Hammering a sign into the ground.
A little warning.
It seems the beavers haven't proved popular with everybody.
Basically, the decision was made by the landowner and some of the neighbors that beavers had to go, so hopefully we can help them out there and help the beavers out. Okay, that trap's hot.
Thanks to Jeff's diligence, Drew knows there are two beavers living here, so he's brought his and hers traps.
Come back in the morning and see what we got.
He may not have to wait that long.
Keep an eye on that trap. He's going to the trap.
Maybe it's his aftershave, but once again, he's tricked a beaver into breaking cover.
It's swimming towards a trap. It climbs onto it, then triggers it.
Gotcha!
Look at that.
Welcome to Jackson. Not even heard of him.
As Drew knows only too well, there's nothing better than catching a beaver at the end of the day.
Won't you bite my leg?
Unless it's waking up to another one the next morning.
See what we got here, if we got anything. Yeah. We gotcha.
He drags the trap out of the water.
You're fine. All right. This makes me happy. I didn't want to break up another happy home.
It's not just a case of playing happy families. Releasing the beavers as a pair means they'll double both their food-finding capacity and their labor force when it comes to establishing a new home.
That's good.
Key factors which could ensure a successful relocation.
On to the next pair.
If we didn't have somebody like Drew around, it'd be a real big problem here. Having to come out here two or three times a week, pull sticks out of the culvert, interrupts my day. You know, I either got to come out here at night after work or first thing in the morning. And then if I leave for a weekend, I might come back to a big mess.
A tranquil-looking pond bordered by pine trees, some purple flowers, and a green wetland area.
It's summer, and tourists are flocking into town, keen to enjoy a Wild West experience and the chance to view the wildlife.
A brown bear in tall grass and cars stopped on a country road, waiting for a herd of bison to finish crossing in front of them.
Even the humble beaver gets its own summer fan club.
People snapping photographs.
But for most beavers, there's no time to bask in the limelight.
A beaver's dam.
For these relentless rodents, spring and summer is prime dam-building time. When old dams are patched up after early season floods, and fresh ones are built to establish new ponds.
One of the beaver's dam structures stretching across a small body of water.
Their dams can extend remarkable distances. In fact, the largest known one, in Alberta, Canada, is over half a mile long. These huge structures are created thanks to a mixture of tireless work and the beaver's amazing evolutionary adaptations. Their front paws are dexterous enough to maneuver branches into place. And they can walk on their back feet, freeing up their front paws to carry mud up to the dam, before stuffing it in to make the construction watertight. With webbed rear feet and a powerful flipper-shaped tail, they're agile swimmers, capable of shuttling back and forth with the minimum of effort.
Beavers going about their work, mud packing, tree gnawing, branch fetching, and dam building. Speeded up footage of a beaver swimming back and forth.
and exceeding the best human divers, they can hold their breath for up to 15 minutes. Plenty of time to excavate mud from the bottom of the pond.
An underwater cloud of billowing mud, then a beaver packing it onto a dam.
This mud fest is a win-win for the beavers, as well as supplying valuable building materials. All that digging makes the pond deeper, making it less likely to freeze solid during winter.
The nose of an approaching beaver.
Once the dam is finished, the area behind it floods, and the beavers can just swim up to fresh supplies of trees and bushes.
A beaver slowly making its way cross-country.
Although they will travel across land, beavers know there's much less chance of being jumped by a bear or a wolf if they stick to the water. And by cunningly digging canals and channels, they can extend the pond to reach any choice specimens.
One of the industrious little creatures is swimming whilst towing a large branch thick with foliage.
Big trees make such tempting targets because as far as a beaver's concerned, all those branches and twigs make them a supermarket and building merchants rolled into one. And their incredibly strong jaw muscles combined with sharp enameled incisors mean no tree is safe from their felling felony. With their lives dependent on these acts of arboreal anarchy, it's no surprise that a single beaver can fell more than 200 trees a year.
Dozens of fallen trees scattered along a riverbank. Then a beaver stops gnawing at a tree trunk and gets out of the way as it starts to topple. Hundreds of gnaw marks on the exposed end of a fallen tree.
Which is why Jackson residents call in Drew at the first sign of trouble.
Drew's with Jeff.
We've got a lot of activity just right here.
Right, right. Oh, he's taking a tree down right here.
Oh, there's two trees.
Oh, yeah.
A tree right there. You know, if you look over towards that house, Jeff, you know, there's some prize aspens over there really close to the house. They want the beavers gone.
Drew's hoping Jeff's specialist surveillance skills will help determine how many beavers are responsible for the damage.
Beaver.
It's sitting in a grassy area.
See that? Yeah. Now here goes, scent marking.
Keep it down.
It might be a reaction to Drew and Jeff's arrival, but by smearing its own unique urine-based paste over a specially constructed mound, this beaver is making a clear statement.
He's saying, this is my pond. Period.
The beaver slides into the water and swims across the pond.
It's not just marking out its territory. This beaver has been busy in other ways, too.
He's got quite a bit of food stashed over there.
These aren't just preparations for winter. If this beaver is single, a well-appointed pond might help attract a mate.
He's found himself a wonderful place to live. As far as he's concerned.
I have to say, it's going to get evicted soon.
Drew sets a trap.
Any eviction will depend on trapping the beaver, and Drew is relying on his scent lure to work its magic.
Okay, it's hot.
So far, Drew's lure doesn't seem to be working.
I think he's literally munching on the lawn. I've never seen a beaver grazing like that.
Starter over. It's time to think about the main course.
Oh, he's thinking about that tree, though, man.
Uh-oh.
Sneaky little bugger.
The beaver seems to pause.
Perhaps it's got a whiff of the lure. But something has distracted the beaver's attention from its stomach.
Back to the water. Yeah, let's get this done quick. That beaver wants back over here.
Jeff picks up his camera and tripod.
Let's get out of here. Good luck, Beav.
With so many large trees at risk, Drew knows his traps are all that stand between the property and another beaver Armageddon.
Now Jeff and Drew are returning to check on the trap.
We got him, man.
Oh,
smaller than I thought.
It is smaller.
Get this guy out of here. Say goodbye to your first home, buddy.
Two 4x4s driving away along a road. A man in a cowboy hat riding a horse. Then the captured beaver inside the trap.
Drew is taking this beaver over 40 miles away, way out into the Bridger-Teton National Forest. It's an area that's home to deer, elk, and even cougars, all species that will benefit from a beaver creating new wetlands.
See you, buddy.
Off he goes into this new home territory.
You can get into all the trouble you want up here. Just stay out of town.
A sign reads, live beaver trapping.
So far, it's been a relatively slow year for Drew. But as summer rolls on...
That's good.
The calls start flooding in.
There you go.
A montage of Drew at work, paddling a canoe, loading a trapped beaver into his truck, and carrying another one with the help of a second man.
And Drew knows that as winter approaches, beaver activity will snowball.
Okay, buddy.
A local man with a gray beard.
When I planted some big willows and five or six aspens many years ago, $1,500 worth of willows, $1,000 worth of aspen. One night they're there, and the next morning they're in a pile in the middle of the pond. Since that time, I've definitely been in defense mode.
Flying above the extraordinary landscape of the Grand Teton National Park. Mountainous terrain with vegetation displaying a rich variety of colors and hundreds of acres of tall green pines. Trees on a high slope are dusted with white. An owl takes flight from a branch, then a calm, glassy pond.
It's autumn. And human activity around Jackson has slackened off. But beaver activity has gone into overdrive.
Clouds drifting over the mountains.
Winter is just weeks away. And like people and Christmas, beavers know that there are only so many shopping days before the ice comes.
A pair of geese.
Top of the list is preparing their hideout. Beavers can build a new lodge in just 20 days, shifting around 3 tons of material in the process. Even existing lodges get a makeover.
Night vision footage of the work in progress.
Extra mud and sticks provide insulation against the cold.
2 beavers are reinforcing the lodge.
And once this surface layer freezes, it'll prevent any desperate predators like wolves, cougars, or coyotes breaking in search of a snack. With their lives dependent on these preparations, it's make or break time for beavers and their families.
2 infants inside the lodge.
And sometimes they get support where they might least expect it.
The beaver were here first. We want to protect them and see if we can't find that happy medium.
We're the ones that are crowding the wildlife. We're the ones that planted the trees that they need. It's really not the beaver's problem. We're kind of creating it in a sense. So we're here to try to find harmony with the beaver and peace in our neighborhoods as we move into his habitat.
Oh, right here, look at this.
Drew's calls aren't always motivated by people worried about the damage beavers cause.
This does completely freeze over.
Does it?
In the winter. Okay. So I don't know whether it will freeze all the way down.
Or... That's the crucial part.
This time he's been called out by a local homeowner who's concerned about a beaver that's been spotted in this shallow irrigation ditch.
If they were to stick around here at this point, it would could essentially be a suicide mission, trying to live in this ditch for the winter.
If this ditch freezes up completely, the beaver would be forced to forage on land, making it easy meat for any predator.
It's not a good place for them long term. It doesn't really sound like it's a good place for them in the short term. I mean, I think, one way or the other, they really need to live somewhere else.
Do what we can, but if Jeff can give me a better idea, that'd be helpful.
That. Absolutely.
Jeff's now on his knees at the edge of the ditch, his arm reaching into a large pipe.
Jeff is dealing with a blockage.
Ooh.
It's the drainage pipe at the downstream end of the ditch. It's been blocked, presumably by the beaver, in an attempt to turn the ditch into a viable pond.
Mud, vegetation, sticks.
He's hoping that unblocking the pipe will draw any beavers out, revealing just how many there are.
Rocks. A lot of rocks. They're masons, these beavers. Stonemasons.
Beavers instinctively build dams, and, like Pavlov's dogs, the sound of running water seems to drive them into construction frenzy, feeding a desperate urge to repair any leaks.
So packed in here tight.
So clearing the pipe should bring the beavers out, assuming Jeff can unblock it in the first place.
This is the one. This is the hook.
He pulls out a thick clod of densely packed branches, mud and weed.
With the water flowing again, Jeff heads off to take position.
Oh. Can you hear that? So we have the makings of a lodge right here. There's not much to it.
It might not look much, but at least one beaver is calling this home.
Right there. And see the beaver joint sticking. They've excavated under this bush, and that's the extent of their lodge. They have a lot of work here yet to do to make this a fortress. Oh, wow, there you go.
As the beaver slips off downstream, Jeff follows it.
He's headed down towards the culvert.
To the pipe.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Sure enough, the beaver is checking out the sudden disappearance of its dam. But is there just the one?
As he films, Jeff's making a noise with his mouth.
I read somewhere that if you want to attract a beaver, try making the sound of the beaver chewing.
Right over.
Boy, I've been trying that and it really seems to work. These beavers seem to swim towards me and come and investigate, check me out, see what I'm all about.
Neither the unblocked pipe nor Jeff's beaver whispering antics reveal a second beaver. It looks as though there's just one to deal with.
Drew opens the rear of his truck.
That should make Drew's task simple. But setting the traps is proving a problem.
It just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
If the trap slips into deeper water, then any trapped beaver could potentially drown. But the reality is, Drew needs to catch this beaver. Leaving it here will be tantamount to killing it anyway.
Finally. It's shallow enough, and there's a lot of good activity.
He fetches a trap from his truck and sets it up.
Trap is hot.
He puts out another and adds the beaver lure.
Okay, that trap's hot. Right
there. Drew's plan is working. But there's a problem.
Drew's pointing to not one, but two beavers.
A second beaver has appeared.
Drew sits near the water's edge, observing them. One of the animals leaves the water and stands on its hind legs. It's only inches from the trap. Drew continues to watch intently as the curious beaver approaches the trap. It finally slips off the bank back into the water and sets it off. The beaver's caught inside and Drew approaches.
You just couldn't resist, could you?
That was pretty cool.
If a Mountie always gets his man, then Drew is determined to get his beaver.
He resets the trap.
Let's see if we have the same kind of luck.
The captured beaver snaps at his hand.
Not only will the first beaver's chances of survival be improved by catching its mate, but the second beaver will struggle to survive the winter if left in the ditch.
Drew heads off across coarse ground.
But despite several nights trapping,
nothing there.
It's a bust.
No way. Damn.
The beaver has got away.
Nothing.
And with the first signs of winter already evident, Drew wastes no time in releasing the first beaver.
He lets it go at a river's edge.
This late in the year, the beaver will need every day it has in its new home to find sufficient supplies for the winter.
The beaver swims off downstream.
Beavers spend much of the autumn building their food cache.
One submerges with a branch in its mouth.
It's their most important job before winter, and the whole family has to pull their weight.
One beaver dealing with a particularly large branch is joined by another. The water ripples all around as the branches towed off across the pond.
These branches will be woven together to make a raft with the choicest items wedged underneath for maximum accessibility. The cold pond water will effectively act like a refrigerator, ensuring the food remains edible throughout the winter.
A small waterfall runs into a narrow section of river.
Something is taking down willow on the edge of town.
The riverbank is thick with trees and bushes.
But with the first snows, it's now too late for Drew to relocate any problem beavers. However, he still has enough on his plate. He's put aside his sheriff's badge to play Meals on Wheels for a pair of recently relocated beavers that have yet to start on a food cache.
Well, winter's coming, and the best thing that we can do for those beavers is to kind of help them out and give them materials myself. Grocery store came to them kind of thing.
He's been cutting down branches.
It's estimated that beavers need up to 4 pounds of bark per day. So these caches have to be pretty significant.
It might not be much, but every branch increases the beaver's chances.
Being able to stay either in their lodge or under the ice all winter long, they're not risking getting out on the shoreline and into the snow and stuff and, you know, potentially a predator come along and whacking them.
With the rear of his truck full of branches, Drew drives off towards a gray mountain and up a hilly road.
It's a 1.5 hour drive to the spot where the relocated beavers have set up home.
Having parked, he removes an armful of branches from the 4x4. Then he treks off across scrubland.
And he still has a 15-minute hike to reach their lodge.
Things I do for these beavers.
He drags the branches down an incline towards a picturesque spot dominated by a large pond.
It looks like the two beavers I put in have already gone to work and have started a food cache. And no harm, no foul, I can just supplement that for them and, you know, give them a little bit better head start.
He deposits his branches in the water.
There you go, feeding beavers.
It's not a moment too soon.
A beaver gives the water a violent slap with its tail.
The big freeze has started. In town, residents are hunkering down for the winter. And so are the beavers. They don't hibernate, but encased in a world of snow and ice, the beavers will spend most of the next 6 months snuggled up inside their lodges. Despite outside temperatures dropping to 40 degrees below, inside the lodge, it will hover just above freezing, ensuring the beavers can always slip out for a snack.
Air bubbles rise to the surface as a beaver swims out of its lodge. Now Drew's opening the doors of his storage hut and putting away his traps.
Drew is also shutting down operations. With his equipment safely packed away, he can finally relax.
He drives off with the vista of the snow-capped Teton mountain range in the distance.
Until next spring,
a beaver's head emerges from a pond.
When the beavers will be back.